And I essentially make fake cum, so much of it, a huge amount of it. And I sit somebody down and I talk to them for a moment. I have my assistant pour fake cum on them.
Welcome to the podcast that is guaranteed to improve not only your photography, but your mind, body, and spirit as well. Full of interviews with the top image makers in the industry, where we talk photography, drink whiskey, and fill up the bathtub with High Life and PBR. So grab a juice box, a handful of unsalted almonds, and get ready for the show.
I always forget the almonds. We should change that to salted cashews.
Lightly salted cashews.
All right. We are here for episode 3, and this one, holy shit, is going to be awesome. Is it not?
Yes.
Kayla?
Great.
Wiley? Kayla Wiley. Here we go. So portrait photographer? What sort of photographer would you call yourself?
I would call myself a creative portrait photographer.
Creative portrait photographer. Well, thank you for joining us. We met several months ago down in Nashville, and you had some... First of all, I had a blast at dinner with you and John and Diana and, oh, David's also here, co-host.
I mean,
co-host extraordinaire. Hopefully, it is past his bedtime. It is 8 o'clock his time, so he's normally in bed, which we found out last episode.
Yeah. Kayla.
But Kayla and I had a blast at dinner, and it was hilarious. And she's got an awesome portfolio that I loved. Good friends with John. So... why don't you give us the background of who you are?
Okay, so I go by Wiley. I'm going to say that. I grew up in Hawaii, went to art school in Portland, currently live in L.A. But while I was in Portland, I made a lot of artwork about my experience and understanding it and highlighting weird stuff about it. Yeah.
And what's your experience?
So in college, at the time, what this project is about, in college at the time, I was very sexually active, and I wanted to make work about that. I like to make work about playing as an adult, because I feel like adults forget how to play.
Okay.
So, yeah, I made a sandbox for adults, but instead of sand, it was filled with slime. So adults would like...
This is in college.
This is in college.
And what were you going to school for in college?
Art.
What kind of art? Just art general? Just,
I was a sculptor in college. Sweet. So I actually didn't even take photos.
Was that the major?
Yeah. Sculpting? Fine art, focus, and sculpture.
Oh, I wish I would have done that instead of business or something. I have such regret about not doing art in college.
I think...
Such regret.
Art school is the best.
Right? Oh, I'm so jealous. I
got to play
this.
The whole time while I was in college.
I know.
I never wanted to stop playing.
So. I was studying Excel spreadsheets and stuff. That was boring.
Yeah, I actually transferred out of business college. So I was a business major at first.
Smart.
Yeah. I took my first class of microeconomics, and I was like, fuck this.
Yeah. Get out of here with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I want to make
weird
shit.
This is the worst thing ever.
All right, so you built a sandbox. This is for school?
Yes. So I built the sandbox, covered it in slime, and I put it in a gallery, and adults got to go play in the sandbox, but it was a slime box. And that was my first sort of iteration of play for adults.
Nice.
And also my introduction to slime.
Nice.
Before
that, did you have any, I mean, there was times all the time growing up, I remember getting slime.
Right.
You know, I loved it.
Right.
Like, I had a whole Ghostbusters, like, 3-story thing that you get slime. And
yes.
Like, oh, it was the best.
Yes. Well, there was a big slime craze where all the kids were ruining houses with slime and Elmer's glue.
Oh, my daughter went through that. My daughter went through that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's expensive.
It's super expensive.
We learned how to make it, too.
Exactly. Everybody knew how to make it. It was like a huge thing. And I was like, hey, adults, come play. Come do this crazy thing. After college, art was harder. The art, being successful as an artist, showing work was a lot harder than I thought. And I had a camera. And I was like, I'm going to be a photographer now because I want to be creative and I want to not have a normal 9-to-5. And that's when I pursued photography. So you see a lot of the themes that I explored in college come into my portrait photography.
And?
Oh, and then, okay, so here I'm here to talk to you about a very specific project that has been going on.
How long have you been doing this project?
That since college. I think I graduated in 2016. So 2016 till now, I've been shooting it. Whenever people want to do it, I set it up and I shoot it.
Nice. All right, so what is this project? What is this elusive project? Okay,
so it's called A Huge Load. That's what the photo series is called. And I essentially make fake cum, so much of it. A huge amount of it. And I sit my sit somebody down and I talk to them for a moment. I have my assistant pour fake cum on them at randomly.
Whenever. Oh, so they don't even know it's coming.
They don't know when it's coming. They know it's coming.
All right. So let's start with what is it made out of?
Okay. It is cornstarch and water. That's it.
All right.
I found this.
But it looks pretty legit.
It looks, here, I got a photo for you to look at.
What's the perfect ratio to make the right cum?
it's good, right? you know, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I normally will just put really in real? a cup of cornstarch and I just add water until I get the consistency that I like.
All right.
Some days it's looser than other days.
Yeah. Depends on how hydrated you are. You know?
Exactly. So I try to get a before, like a very genuine before, as soon as it happens, and then an after. Because the three photos really tell a story of how that person is interacting.
Oh, so it's like you have three frames together for every person. So like you have just normal interaction. I'm just talking to you. Are all of them like topless? Like this?
All of them are topless.
So all of them are topless. They're just sitting there having a conversation. And then your assistant surprises them with the load and you snap.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, like how long after that initial smack?
It's like a 30 second process. Well, talking to them can be longer, but like those from the beginning to the end of the initial cum hit, it's about 30 seconds.
Is that the official terminology? I mean,
I don't know. And I fully leave it up to who's helping me that day to decide when they, so it's literally like a very surprising.
So you don't even know when it's happening.
I mean, I can see it.
Right. So how do they not see it coming? Do they?
Is there so I use the Westcott.
No way. I'm gonna.
I use.
What is it coming out of?
I just like a measuring container.
The
a
hand measuring container. Right here.
So all right. So let's paint this picture. We've got you, and there's a tripod, or you hand
tripod.
All right, on a tripod. You're behind it.
Yep.
And how far is the subject in front of you?
About as far as you are.
Four or five feet.
Yeah.
All right. And then where's this other person with a bucket of something?
I set up the Westcott X. What are they called? The Westcott X drops.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the like pop-ups.
The pop-ups. Yeah. So I can get a person behind it on a ladder, very short ladder, and they just dump it.
All right. So they're kind of hiding behind it.
Yeah.
So they know they're there, but they don't really
see. So it's coming from some height.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some force behind this coming
down.
It's
lats. It's very nice.
What? All right. So are they like picking it up with their hand and tossing it over? Is it on a paintbrush?
It's like in a, what the hell are those called? Measuring cup, big measuring
turkey
cup.
Turkey baster?
Oh, like the glass ones?
Like the glass ones.
Yeah, okay. Like the Pyrex. Oh,
yeah, the Pyrex. Yeah.
A whole lot of it.
Like a huge load of cum. Yeah. Like a non-human amount of cum. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And is it just one and done, or like is it?
It keeps going. No, it depends on the person. So if the person's like really, so I have all kinds of reactions, right? Yeah. I have people who are like actually more grossed out than they thought they'd be. In that case, I stop. But if the person's like opening their mouth and like going crazy, like I'm just like keep it coming, like I want to see all.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the temperature of this stuff?
It's normally warm. I never have taken the temperature, but I try to keep it warm so that it's like, you know.
So some people get really grossed out.
Some people do get really grossed
like,
out.
Like what do they do?
Like they'll like make a face and then freeze. Like their body tenses up.
And they're just like, oh my God, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
So are there stories that you keep with each photo? Do you have an interview that kind of goes with it, or is it just the image?
Just the image.
All right. And so where is this project at and your, I guess, opinion of it? Like are you going to keep doing it? When does it?
So at this point, I've done different lighting iterations and backdrop iterations of it. Eventually, I'd like to get to a point where I can like open it up to a public and do like a very large sum of people and then publish it in a book. But right now it like lives in my archives, which is weird, kind of. But I can't publish it online, really.
Why not?
I don't think it would work. I don't think it plays. I think it's got to be a gallery.
It has to.
And preferably a gallery with a model that's in there just dripping. Like, that would be the best.
I agree that it would be great to see in person, like, printed big.
I agree.
I think it would work online big time. Why wouldn't it? The internet is full of shit like this.
It is a little exploitative. Is that the right word?
I don't think so.
I think...
Are we talking about the same internet that, you know,
that all has, that shit exists on? That has you porn on it?
Well,
that's
something that I wrote down in my notes. Like, everybody knows about this material. Everybody's been exposed. Every adult, yeah. I should say, knows about this. But I don't know.
Is it
I
just
don't,
something
I don't want. I don't want like these people's about? Images float. Like, I guess if it's in a gallery space, it's elevated a little. You know, like it is. It's a crazy experience, and I don't want them to feel like, oh, I'm putting their images online. They're covered in cum, and I'm exploiting them in any way.
They all know what they signed up for.
Oh, though, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. How are you finding all of these people?
They're people I meet.
How long before you propose an
answer? Well, dude, like, it depends.
Any
it depends.
First night so, individuals? Like, hey, you know, also it's nice meeting you.
I've never come over tomorrow. I've never done that. No. My first round. So I'm going to just tell you the story about how I first did this project. Looking up slime recipes, found the cornstarch, cooked it on my stove, and I was like, "This looks crazy." Find myself in my room. I was like, "Holy crap, this looks wild," and it wasn't working for a slime. The project that I was wanting it for, but I had this like pot of fake cum is what it looked like on my stove. And I texted my friends. It was like a group of 15 people on a group chat. And I was like, "Hey, I have a pot of cum. Does anybody want to come over for a photo shoot?" 9 people showed up. 9 of my friends showed up.
Sounds like a blast.
I didn't know anything about lighting. I use, or photography or studio. I use my IKEA lamp and a bed sheet as a backdrop. And my friend was to the side at this point pouring the cum. And I shot all those images and everybody loved it. Like, all of my really close friends were like, "This is fucking crazy. And I love this and I want to print these pictures." And I was like, "Holy shit. This is cool."
So how many do you have?
How many
do we have here?
I have about 25.
All right.
But a lot of them aren't consistent in look yet.
Yeah, I bet the early days are way different than the 25th.
Oh, yeah.
So are you going to figure out a way to like marry it all together other than the cum part, or is like are you kind of, as you've matured as a photographer, are you now starting moving forward so that you can have like the same look over and over? Or?
Yes, that's what my goal when I open it up to public and have like 100 people who participate, my goal is to have the same look. But this, like, all of that was just for me practicing developing and testing, essentially.
So you probably want to do more than 100 people, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, 100 to get the book. Like, I would like 100 in my book. Or all 69, right. Something crazy.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Do you have a name for the book?
A Huge Load.
A Huge Load, yeah.
That's it. The project's name is just A Huge Load. Because it is, because it's a loaded
and
material.
And there's going to be no words? There's just going to be
photos.
Photos.
Maybe you could have some loaded questions in there.
Maybe. That would be kind of cool.
Couple.
I like that. Yeah. I like that when you view these pictures, they're really interesting because I think you ask yourself about the material. Like, you ask yourself about the cum. And you're like, am I comfortable with that? Do I want...
Comfortable?
Comfortable.
If you put a lock on the book, it'd be locked and loaded. Hey. Let's keep going with this.
It's this. All day.
I got dad jokes for days. All right, so how long do you think it's going to take? Do you have a goal in mind, or just however long it takes?
However long it takes. Right now, I just moved to LA, and I feel like I lost my community of artists in
Portland.
You're
telling me you moved to LA, and you're having some trouble finding these people? I'm trying, come on.
I'm trying to find like people who feel safe enough with me to do that. Because I think it's a very intimate thing that I'm asking of my subjects, right?
Is Craigslist still around? I feel like this would be a great place.
Not want to find Craigslist people.
So what are you talking about? Is Craigslist, that's still up, right?
I don't know. And Mary's List? I don't know. So who's the ultimate subject? Who's like the person
God, like
that you
Lady
would...
Gaga, are you kidding? Or somebody crazy and famous who's like not afraid of a buckets of cum.
Oh.
You know,
buckets.
I would have gone for
or
like a
porn star, like a big porn star. Oh, geez, that would be great. That'd be great.
Who else, other than Lady Gaga, do you have some people in mind. Let's put it out into the universe. Let's say it.
I mean, I really want to photograph Doja Cat.
All right.
Really badly.
All right.
Lizzo. Have you had any family members like be a part of it?
No.
She looks at me crazy from across the table. Like, I'm just curious.
We found the line.
Yeah.
We were going to. Yeah. And we found the
everybody's
line
open except for family members.
I don't have like a big family. I have like my grandma. Actually, you know what? I would totally photograph. I take that back 100%. I would love to photograph my grandma.
All right, Nana, if you're listening to this.
Is she in Hawaii?
I'll take photos of her. She is in Hawaii. Yeah. And I will take photos of her and I'll send it over. Because she'll be like, what the hell is going on? But she's so cute because she's so like, she doesn't understand my art, but she's like down. Like for one of my openings, I juiced oranges with my body. And I kept the juice and I served it to people. And she was there for that performance and helped serve the orange juice that I was juicing. She, like, yeah. She didn't understand what was going on. She was like, why are you doing this? And I was like, I can't talk to you right now, Grandma. I'm doing
busy
a performance.
Making orange juice.
But she helped. You know, she's like supportive and great. So.
That was the best.
She's wild.
So the other photography that you do, what else are you into?
I like curated studio photography. And so I like to tell stories or make my person feel like a whole set is built after them. And I like to try to sway avant-garde-y, like a maternity shoot with like a bunch of teddy bears in the background, like a teddy bear wall or something that I built.
And are you making a living at photography now doing this?
As in Portland, I was. In LA, I'm not. I'm assisting a lot in LA right now. But I'm hoping that once my clientele gets built up in LA that I can go full time with photography again.
How are you or who are you assisting? Can you say who you, or is it just
I'm just assisting like some local photographers in LA, Shlomit, Meet, Nicholas Sage.
What are your duties on set assisting?
Right now I'm doing a lot of admin work.
They keep her away from the kitchen, that's for sure.
Doing admin work, I set up lighting, I break down gear, that kind of stuff.
What's your typical assistant?
What's your favorite lighting gear right now? Do you have one?
A Profoto? What do you mean? What specific item are you? Rolling stands? I love rolling stands.
All right, let's talk about rolling stands.
Really great.
This is really great.
I just love that they roll. C stands are stuck, you know?
Yeah.
They really piss me off sometimes.
Are you talking about like the Matthews rolling stands with like the big orange bottoms?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a big fan too.
See, they're so good.
They're nice.
They're amazing. I mean, they have such a wider base too. Like, they're not going over.
Exactly. And I don't feel like scared. You know, sometimes you put a C stand up and you're like, whoa, put two more weights on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Especially when you're putting like a $2,000 light on the head and you're like, oh.
Yeah. Yep. Or it's at a weird angle too. The boom's at a weird angle and you're like, okay, should I hold it? Should I be standing right now?
So, what made you move to LA?
My partner and I both outgrew Portland is how it felt. We were like ready for something that was bigger and that had more of a challenge for us. He worked through some of the best restaurants in Portland and I worked in some studios in Portland and I just was like, I want to go somewhere I can grow faster. I would say to people, I want to go somewhere where the soil is.
Not wet all the time?
Well, yeah, but I don't, well, so I would talk about Portland soil being dry. Like,
I thought it was super
raining, yes. Yeah. But like, I mean, like, it felt really like people weren't willing to do creative stuff as much as what
really?
I thought.
In
LA
Portland, I thought Portland was like the.
Portland's I thought Portland was pretty crazy town.
Portland's really white.
It's not? Really?
Super it's really white.
I've actually never super been to white. Portland. I thought it was like white? Super progressive.
I think they pretend to be.
Really?
Yeah. They just do it so they can get stoned. Yeah. They're just like, yeah, we're all cool, but we're just trying to get high.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know.
So don't go to Portland.
I mean, if you like IPAs, go to Portland.
I don't.
Well, then don't. I hate IPA.
Yeah, it's IPA.
I've never liked an IPA. I don't understand what the. I don't know what the craze is.
It tastes like socks. Let's be honest.
I think some sours taste like socks.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
IPA.
IPAs are bitter. I don't know.
Yeah. It's too like.
Give me a good like German beer, you know.
Yeah, Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe. Yeah, I don't think I'm ever gonna like the IPAs. I like that rotting fruit. In my beer taste.
I like to hold up. Socks. I like to hold up my beer to the light and not be able to see through it. Oh, that's what I like.
Stout,
okay. I like it dark.
So
like my soul.
So what do you like about LA? Like,
okay, so then I thought, okay, so I wanted to move from dry soil. Portland's raining, yes, but I mean like creatively dry. It was hard to do everything. It was hard to get people to do stuff. And then I wanted to go to LA where I thought the soil was fertile because I felt like everybody wanted to create stuff and do stuff. Except now that I live there, I'm like, well, it's way harder to meet people, genuine people who are willing to do stuff with you. It's way harder than I thought.
Where do you go to meet people? Just like bump into them on the streets and then be like, can I cover you and come?
I'm trying to do the networking thing. So like through friends, through photographers that I meet, like if I meet somebody at the club and I really like how they look, I'm like, hey, you want to photo? You want to take photos? And I always get a yes, but then like they ghost me.
Yeah.
But I met some cool people who I do work with decently regularly. But I think I just need to find the communities that I can get plugged into and really blossom.
Maybe you should put up a sign up form. Anyone listening to this is in the area.
Well, so that's
go to your website.
I wrote that down.
Sign up.
There will be. When is this coming out?
Tomorrow.
You're lying.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, whenever this comes out.
Pretty quick.
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, there will be a page on my website. And if you want to be a part of this project, there'll be a sign up sheet.
Are you going to have a URL specifically for this project or just your main website?
Yes. URL specifically for the
website. But to date, nobody can see these photos.
I'll put some. I have. Well, you can.
We'll put the one of David that you're going to make this week.
You want to be a part of it?
I don't give a shit.
Hey! Oh my gosh! Stop it! I would seriously. I would do it. Either of you.
We go to the. We go to Safeway right now.
Yeah.
We'll be back in 10 minutes. I mean, we need.
It's not going to hurt my presidential campaign more than anything else I've ever done in my life. So.
Oh my god.
You think you're going to run?
Yeah, maybe one day.
One day. I might help you by then.
Yeah.
At the rate things are going.
People are just
going
to be like, "Look at this as the guy." I mean.
The progression.
Yeah.
He's open to ideas.
Definitely open to ideas.
Trying new things.
Well, you let me know.
Yeah.
Well, let's do it this week.
I'm not scared.
Okay.
There's a 360 camera right there. We've been talking about what we can do with the 360 camera.
Yeah.
Apparently we can do a cum shot.
We could have six people around. Everyone has their own angle. And you're just running around.
Slinging it.
Flying.
Okay. And then like, then you could be in your VR headset.
You get
just,
a little
like,
bit.
Watching.
You get a little
you get a little you could be the Oprah of cum if we do this right.
Oh my god.
I mean, we don't have to return this until Friday.
I feel like there's definitely six people we could get. There's six people we could get right here.
I will fucking do this. This is
Rich, you down to get cum? I'm done. See, Rich is done. We
have two people. See, it's fucking cool, right? It's so crazy. When is the next time you're gonna get a huge amount of cum dumped on you?
There's never going to be a time that that happens to me.
Every Thursday night, I'm an asshole. It's pretty regular.
This will be a one and done for me.
It's the craziest experience. I'm telling you right now, people are shocked by it. It's amazing.
What's so shocking about it?
I mean, you don't know what's coming.
You don't know what's coming. Watch. Yeah. Do it, and you'll be like, holy fuck.
How many people
fuck.
Close their eyes and like, just do it?
A lot. A lot. You see a lot. When it hits them, they're like, oh, fuck.
Does it burn?
No.
It doesn't burn. Not.
Does you?
Does you?
I mean, we get something in your eye. Not on your skin.
No.
You get it in your eye.
No. Not that I've been told.
So we know that it's...
I make it out of cornstarch, so it tastes like corn. Which is
corn? Is cornstarch sweet?
I don't think so.
I guess we're going to find out.
I use it when I cook Chinese food at home. I don't think it's sweet.
I don't know. I never use it.
I use cornstarch constantly.
Really? Yeah. What do you put it in?
Like when I make cashew chicken at home.
You make cashew chicken at home?
Oh, God, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I just made honey walnut shrimp.
Oh, girl.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You're my spirit animal.
It's like flour.
I don't have a clue.
Oh, David, you had one job.
I sent you the thing, and I said they have half-off steaks tonight.
Did you make reservations?
I need to make reservations? I send it to you. Never mind. This is a bad
David gets a text, and it was like, hey, make reservations for dinner night.
Oh, he said, pick a place. I'll show you the text.
We're going to look up this text right now. Sorry.
Oh.
She's like, guys, well, about,
okay, so there will be a link on my website. If you want to be part of this project, please sign up.
Oh, it's not even that. He said find a place. Place found. Like,
oh, my God.
You got to make a reservation in Vegas.
You should. Especially with conferences going on.
Anywhere. All right, so what does your week look like? How are you using WPPI to your advantage outside of...
Apparently, we're doing a six-shot cum shot.
Besides that. You go to classes?
I go to classes. I help John and Diana with their classes. And I try to use it to network. I try to use it to meet people and see how I can help people and get involved.
Where are the parties at this week?
I don't know. I was going to ask you that, actually.
Apparently, there's one happening right now.
Why aren't we? Let's just close.
It's the opening party of this whole thing.
Oh, no, it's not. That's tomorrow night.
Any WPBI sponsored parties are not fun. You know? I don't know.
I don't know. I could be listening right now. We have no reverence. We'll say whatever.
Yeah. Any WPBI sponsored parties usually not fun. The best ones, unaffiliated, usually. But sure. Who knows? A lot's changed in the last 3 years.
Well, just text me when you can find a party that I can show up to.
Yeah. Samesies.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so what's next on your list of podcast questions that you wrote out? You're the first guest that wrote questions.
I tried to be prepared and then I got nervous. I got all nervous because I was like, oh my God, I have so much shit to talk about. Oh yeah, my God. Wild.
She came prepared with a script, but
I
know, now she's got to
find
it. I
did, and then I didn't even fucking say anything.
Well, I'm curious. We've never scripted anything. Oh, my God. So this is great for us.
Can I find it? It's not really a script. It's just asking me about, like, other projects I've done. Oh, my God. Ask me about other projects I've done.
What other projects have you done?
Okay, so another photo series that I have is called Fruit Smash. And right. I have and a lot. This is another one that I think I've done more Fruit Smash photos than I have cum photos. And normally I have a party around it, and people come in and they smash fruit on themselves.
Just everywhere.
Yep.
So what's the comedian that smashes fruit? What's his name?
Gallagher. He just died recently.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, just recently.
Any inspiration from Gallagher? You know who
I'm
talking
about?
I have
no idea.
She's a little too young.
Yeah, because he was old.
He's old school. He was like this guy that had a giant...
big hammer, right?
Big hammer, and he would smash
watermelons.
Fruit. Yeah.
Is there any fruit you haven't smashed?
I have a whole video on Vimeo of me smashing fruit when I was in college called Close Your Legs. It's a video called Close Your Legs because somebody told me that I needed to close my legs.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, and they're referencing me being a whore because in college I was fucking everything that moved. Okay, I was just
who
like,
was
well,
I mean, right?
I got out of a 6-year relationship in college. Yeah. Got out of a 6-year relationship, and I just went buck wild. Yeah, I went absolutely buck wild, and I also started working out. And I remember thinking, most of my self love comes from me working out. I remember going to the gym and being like, oh my God, I can lift more. And I wanted, at the time, I was thinking about being like picked, like wanting to feel like somebody picked me, and that I was fruitful, and that I was like juicy, you know. So I did this video project where I smashed various fruits in between my thighs. And it's just a video of my thighs smashing.
What's
fruit.
The biggest one?
A watermelon.
Ooh.
Did you have to like pre-cut it?
Yeah, I did, but you can't see it. I did.
Cheated.
Yeah, I cheated. I cheated.
But a watermelon's hard. I can't imagine crushing a watermelon in my thighs.
Yeah.
But so that subject or like concept translated over to photos, and I was like, everybody should smash food on themselves. Everybody should want to feel juicy and ready to be picked.
I like your approach to life.
Thank you.
I'm kind of jealous.
Thank you. I want to play and fuck around all the time.
Yeah, you do things. You take wild ideas that you have and you actually do them. It's really hard to do.
Thanks.
A lot of people have these ideas and they don't act on them because they're feared of being judged.
Most people
don't. Sounds like you don't have that.
I do, but I'm also just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Just do it. I write, there's this phrase I have written in my studio. It's called fail harder. Because I don't care, just fucking do it. It doesn't have to be good. Yeah. Just fucking do it and get it done. You know, you'll learn a lot about yourself and the process if you just do it.
No better teacher than failing and learning from failure. Right, David?
What you mean?
David's got strong opinions on this topic.
So you don't just learn from failure. You learn from success. And you arguably have more to learn from success because you did it right, right? You can fumble into success all the time. You don't have to march intentionally into success. The reasons why we think we learn more from failure than we learn from success is failure doesn't feel good, and so we will analyze all of the steps that led to our failure. How often do you do that with success? Almost never, right? When you're successful at something, you don't take the time to be like, damn, I just knocked this out of the park. Let me go figure out all the steps I took to get here. What music did I listen to this morning? What was my frame of mind? We just don't tend to think like that. We'll tear apart ourselves over failure and we'll figure out how to fix it. But we can learn just as much, if not more, from success as we can from failure. We just don't analyze it.
If you analyze
it. If you analyze it. The problem is like success doesn't make us uncomfortable, so we don't spend as much time with success. But failure,
ew, fuck, I hate that.
We don't like to feel good.
I don't like that. I'm just going to ignore that you said that because it doesn't fit my narrative. So.
What's your narrative?
You need to fail over and over and again, fall on your face so many times, hurt yourself, get up, analyze yourself, be embarrassed. Don't be afraid of the things. So many people won't do things because they just want to succeed at it. And if you get used to failing, if you get used to being embarrassed, if you get then you'll just do things and be and have a lot more fun.
So like the most successful people in the world, it's not that they are unwilling to take risks, right? I mean, if you think about the most successful things, the things that have evolved into, I don't know, like the car, right? Henry Ford had to wake up one day and be like, horses and buggies suck. I got to build a carburetor. He built a carburetor all while he was working for Edison at the time. And then he was like, I'm going to keep this job. He kept that job for several more years. It's not that he was afraid of risk. He just decided to mitigate his risks and decide, oh, I'm going to play it safe here while I take this huge risk here. That's what research would say is the makes us the most successful people. Like if you, as an entrepreneur, if you keep your day job, you're 33% more likely to succeed than somebody who goes all in.
You just made that up.
It's not. It's research.
I think so. You made that up. Yeah.
The most heated I've
you
seen.
You sound
in the
right,
whole
but you made
it
that
is,
up.
It is absolutely right. I could probably pull up the researchers.
Oh, but you can't find it. No,
no, it's absolutely. It was like they did it over a 10-year study, and I think they had like.
Who's they?
5,000. I can't remember the researchers' names, but okay, I bet you by the end of the night, I'll give you those researchers' names.
All right. To your point, though, I know where you're coming from because I'm of that same mindset of trying things, being okay to fail, and it's a kind of a compounded experience of trying things and learning the hard way, and it kind of creates this history of experiences that make you a much more apt individual. So I like where you're coming from. Every time I say come now, I'm just like, damn it.
I know, it's really hard.
Yeah, uh-huh. I know, it's great. Yeah. I love it.
Coming and going.
That's my legacy.
Right? Well, it's not a bad one.
But no. Yeah. I don't know. I just want to encourage people to fail more. Not be afraid to fail more.
Well, I don't think we should be afraid to fail. Like I do agree with you saying that like people tend to be worried about societal norms or be worried about like getting peer approval. I do think that's what keeps the majority of us from being original, right? Like Gary said a little while ago, we all have ideas all the time that instead of just trying to move them forward, we're like, but what happens if? And so you don't. Or you spend all this time waiting for this perfect situation versus just stepping forward. And I definitely think there's tons of things that we can learn from failure. I just don't think we should think that there's nothing that we can learn from success and failure is the only teacher.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, like now, so it's my second time opening a business ever in California. I just dissolved my business in Oregon, reopened in California. I fucked up so many business things the first time that I now am fixing the second time I'm opening up. And I did succeed in opening my business, right, in Oregon. I was a full-time photographer making my living. The second time, I succeeded and now I know to do it better. And I still will succeed the second time.
What are the main things you're doing differently?
I'm opening up an S Corp, not an LLC because it's unnecessary. And okay. I don't have partners, so there's not a reason for me to do so. And I'm handling my accounting a little bit differently, which I have to because I'm an S Corp and I have to pay myself from payroll. But those are the two major differences. And I didn't know anything. I was like, an LLC sounds like a good idea. People can't sue me. They can only sue my business. I didn't know. But we paid a lot of unnecessary taxes doing that.
Having an accountant tell you exactly what to do is the best form of investment. Oh, my God.
My accountant was terrible. Oh my God. Oh, yeah, get a good accountant. Yeah. Get a good accountant. She's
don't get one off Craigslist.
Is that a failure you learned? Okay.
No. I don't know why. I'm just thinking about Craigslist now. I don't know if it still exists.
I have no idea. Either.
Ever since Facebook Marketplace. Oh, my God.
I think it cut into
when
Craigslist
they first
market.
Published that, I was like, get out of here. That's the only reason I go to Facebook now. Checking on Facebook Marketplace.
Another example of Facebook stealing somebody else's idea and publishing it.
Oh, get out of here.
Wait, what? Who?
They stole Craigslist and they made it a marketplace and slapped it on there. I don't know.
Craigslist was a hot pile of garbage. That was the worst interface ever.
In college, there was a girl who did her whole thesis about dick pics on Craigslist.
Oh, there are a lot. Wait,
there was dick pics on
Craigslist. Are you kidding me? Are you serious?
Oh, in the personals?
I mean, I've never really gone looking for dick pics in the first place, but Craigslist wouldn't be the first place to start.
Plethora.
I once had the fun.
Make a girl's Instagram profile and wait for them to come into my DMs like a normal person.
So about 12 years ago, I worked at Apple in one of the retail stores. And there was an individual there, a friend, a coworker. And I decided to place a missed connections. And I described him, but not with his name. And he found it.
No.
And I kept this going for 6 months. I kept a dialogue going with him for 6 months. And we could never get our schedules right. And then finally, there was a going away party for another person on our team. And we all went out that night. And that was the night that I was like, oh, let's meet tonight. So the whole night he's texting. And then finally, it all came crashing down. Like, because he'd been like preoccupied the whole night. He's texting and not part of the going away party. And we're all on mushrooms. So it is a wild night, right? So then finally, he gets the text coming through this number, and it's a picture of himself looking down at the phone, and he just looks up and goes, "God damn it, Gary!"
He knew.
I felt bad, but it was the best investment of time at that point in my life. And now I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't from that. Trust me.
No, I was en route either way.
The things I know.
Oh.
Yeah. Shouldn't have told that story, but here we are.
He's out there listening.
He is.
I'm sorry for you.
I know, right? Don't be. Well, all right. So what else is on your list before we get out of here?
Fruit smashing cum. What else you got going?
I have like a very big explanation.
Anything with vegetables?
No vegetables yet. Yeah. All right. I have a phallic series that I do want to do, but I haven't figured it out totally because I think there's a lot of food that looks
like. Watch out, zucchini. She's coming.
Zucchini, hot dogs, rocket pops, specifically rocket pops. I want to do a series of rocket pops.
We got meat and candy in the mix, too. Yeah. Not just vegetables.
Well, like phallics. There's so many phallic foods. It's crazy. And I was like, let's just have a whole series of people eating those. I haven't written about it, so I don't know how to do that yet. But once I write about it and get a clear concept, then we'll pursue that.
All right.
Yeah.
Some banana coming.
It's a lot about like social experiments, social practice, and seeing like people's responses. So.
Love it.
Yeah.
So it's like the real end goal when you get all these things into a gallery and then you get to come in and see people's reactions there. Now you're going to have a little camera like this set up and now you're going to get the new reactions.
I'm starting to play with this idea of voyeurism. I put a camera in my fridge and I take photos of myself.
That's cool.
Going in the fridge because I feel like I go in the fridge too much.
How do you trigger it?
It's a deer cam. Yeah.
Good.
It's fucking dope.
How many megapixels is that thing?
12, but there's
some that are crazy.
We're going to get a better one. My boyfriend was like, you don't need a $500 deer cam. Like, go buy the cheapest one and see if you're actually going to do this project. I did it. I'm going to do it now.
Nice.
But anyways, yeah, probably.
So it's just however you open the fridge, whenever you open the fridge.
So does that make him not open the fridge?
Everybody
off limits.
I don't keep the photos of my boyfriend opening the fridge because it's not about him.
But you get to know exactly how many times he opens the fridge.
Yeah, yeah. I can see what he's taking out to, what he's cooking. I literally be like, okay, so you made this while I was gone? Okay, wow.
Interesting. Yeah. So is it just photos or does it do
just
like a
photos?
Little video
I too? Can do video, but I'm not. I'm dabbling in video, but I'm not like ready for video, so I haven't pursued video of that too much, but I have photos of myself as an art project and I think it's fucking awesome because I do open the fridge way too damn much.
I don't know if this is cool because I'm not a crazy artist, but what would be cool is if this whole thing was like like inside the museum or wherever you're displaying it, it's the rear, like you cut a refrigerator's ass off, right? And like you put an LED screen on the inside of it and all the images. Like, so you're looking through the fridge at the person that keeps opening it over and over again, and it's just a series of images flipping through. I would love that. That would be awesome.
David's weed just kicked in.
You just
that's sober.
Listen, It's a good idea. It's fucking weird. I open the fridge like 15 times a day.
Do you always get something out? But then it's the fridge's view, right? Because you're looking through the fridge. So you're seeing the fridge's view of the person that's constantly opening it.
The title of this is going to like be POV milk or something. Like something that's in the fridge because it's like sits on the
fridge. It's got to be like POV cabbage. The one thing that never moves in your fucking refrigerator. You know what I mean? Like it's just buried in the back. Like
and never touched, you know?
Jar of wilted pickles. Spinach that you had good intentions for.
Exactly. Yeah.
But never made it to bed.
I am the peach preserves you forgot about.
I like your peach preserves voice.
I liked it.
The peach preserves would be pissed off, man. They've been in there for like 9 years, and they're just like, please, I want to come out.
Oh, they're British?
Let me see the light.
Do you have any fun voices you want to try out?
I don't know.
Oh, don't get me started.
You have to make me mad, and then I'll like my Hawaiian accent will be
beyond point. What do we got to do to make you mad?
Just don't. Just
when are we going to Hawaii?
I don't know when you want to have a podcast in Hawaii. I'm trying to tell John to teach a workshop in Hawaii, and then we'll all just go.
Yeah.
Which island?
Oahu.
Yeah. That's where I got engaged at.
Hey. Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet.
How'd you do it?
We went swimming in a waterfall and like in these botanical gardens and everything, and I kept like chickening out over and over again. So like we were getting ready to leave this whole like
soaking wet.
Yeah, like no, we are leaving at this point. Like we're leaving and we're coming back through because like the whole way up I kept like backing out of it. And so on the way down, like we're the gates of this botanical garden that has this waterfall at the top is right there. And I finally described her as like, I gotta ask you something. Like, she's like, and she was pissed because she was like so hungry. She's like, I just want to eat. I was like, can we just look at this little alcove over here one more time? And she's like, I'm seriously hungry. I want to go eat. Like, stop fucking with me. And I was like, can you just sit down for 5 seconds? And our marriage has basically been the same.
Do you know what waterfall?
I could describe where it is on the island, but like I don't remember which one, what it was called.
Where was it?
It's like, you know, the big rock that's you jump off of, that like all the tourists jump off of. Yeah, so it's like right up the street from that, like, and then there's like a gated botanical gardens that goes all the way up to the waterfall.
I don't even know about that. Yeah. Cool. Anyways,
hidden waterfalls.
Yeah, there's a lot of them in Hawaii. Yeah.
So many that, Okay, I have a lot. I have a last project I want to talk about.
All right.
Oh, let's go.
Lay it on us.
Okay, so I've been taking pictures of my stomach.
And?
Covered in flour, rolled out with a rolling pin.
All right.
And I love it.
How long does it go on for?
I don't know. I've just been doing it.
Where do you think these, do you wake up with these ideas or where do they come from?
They normally come from places of like sadness or excitement. A big emotion. Big emotion.
All right. So one or the other.
And a lot of projects involve food products.
Yeah. Well, food and sex are big things in my life.
They're big in everybody's life.
Yeah. Right. Name like very human better. Experience.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah. Can't do it.
But.
Well, oxygen's kind of nice.
Yeah. Overrated.
Yeah.
Overrated.
Oh. There's oxygen bars in Vegas that might change your mind.
I don't know. Should we go?
Let's go.
Have you been?
No.
To the oxygen bar?
They
just might change your mind.
Oh, ads work on me.
Oh, yeah. What's the last thing you bought from an ad that you...
Clothes.
Just clothes.
Yesterday.
What's the last thing that was not clothes that you bought?
A deer cam.
All right.
Strolled through Instagram and the deer cam popped up. She's like, that would be awesome in my refrigerator. And there we go.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right. Where do people go to find your work? What's your website?
My website's wileyimage.com. My Instagram. I post not weird art stuff on my Instagram and website. So now, because of this podcast.
Opposite from what we talked about. People are gonna be like, "This isn't the lady that."
Can you have a tab on your website that just says "weird art shit"?
I
feel like because that's what
of
it
this
be
podcast, I'm gonna make a tab where you can view some of the weird.
We name
that
it WAS. WAS.
But I like weird art shit.
Yeah, weird art shit. WAS.
It's gonna be a really long tab.
Weird art shit. No, because my website's really minimal, so it won't look weird. Weird art shit's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Give that to you.
Well, thank you for stopping by.
The back of the. So I've brought forth looking through the refrigerator, yeah. and Wes.
You listen, you can't. I was about to say, you can't sue me if
I put that in a gallery. I'm all about helping people grow.
David would never.
Never.
It's a good idea. In one show, I did my fruit smash video, and then I did another performance piece where I videotaped myself putting gum in my hair. And so there was my thighs and then just my head.
Gum in your hair? Did you get it out? Or
peanut butter.
I have a photo of me in the bathtub with a huge jar of peanut butter, and I'm just brushing the peanut butter through my hair.
Peanut butter takes out
gum. What's the weirdest thing you've ever done with peanut butter?
I used it to take
gum. That was the weirdest thing?
Probably. I can't think of anything weird. What do you mean? What are you expecting me to say? Like...
Who knows?
I don't know.
There's a lot that's happened.
I saw a video of a guy who covered his parents.
If a food comes up, I want to ask, what's the weirdest thing you've done with that food? You're the Gallagher of photography.
Yeah, this video.
I don't know how you don't know who Gallagher is.
I mean, he's kind of old. Anyhow,
I'll look him up now. Now I feel like a bad art student. I don't know who Gallagher is.
He was a comedian.
That's
art.
And he just smashed a bunch of stuff on people.
I love that.
Yeah,
love
you would that. Like it.
You're going to love this guy. Yeah. I think he wasn't in Vegas. He was big in Vegas. Back in 1970, 80, I don't know. All right. Should we get out of here?
Let's go.
Let's venture out into Vegas.
Let's go see Vegas.
Let's go get some food.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And let's have some fun this week, guys.
Let's go. Yeah.
Well, that's all for today's podcast. Join us next time for more interesting discussion about the wonderful world of photography and her dark, magical secrets. I'm fascinated with Instagram. It's such a simple construct. Just take a picture and post it on the internet. The other day, I took a picture of my neighbor's pet rabbit. He told me not to post it, but, you know, I did anyway. Wow.